Amen. Thank you, Miss Pat. Good message and song. Amen. Amen, Mary. Did you, Simeon told Mary on that day that they brought Jesus into the temple for circumcision and for his dedication and all that they did, he told them that he would be the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and that he would be a sign that would be spoken against, and that a sword would even pierce her side, that he may reveal the hearts of many. What a purpose, amen, of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to two places in the Bible, the book of Galatians chapter number 6, Galatians 6, verse number 7. Newer Testament book, Galatians 6, and the book of Hosea chapter number 10. We'll be wrapping up with the book of Hosea here shortly. There's 14 chapters. We're on chapter 10 today, so in a couple days we'll be transitioning to the Gospel of Luke as we enter into a season to always remember who and what we live for every day of our lives and what Jesus has provided for us. And if you didn't get a copy of the daily reading schedule, have one up here in the front. So you would want to get a copy of that so you can keep up with everybody and the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. So we're going to be in Galatians 6, verse number 7, and the book of Hosea, chapter number 10. Chapter number 10 and verse number 12. Hosea 10 and verse number 12. If you're there, say amen. I used to say that all the time, or have different things that I would say. If you're there, say amen, or something like that. And some of them younger preacher boys that would come to follow me and preach for me, or different ones that would read the Word, they'd have everybody turn to a passage of Scripture and say, I always want to say that. If you're there, say amen. And they'd have everybody say it too. Verse number 12 of Hosea chapter number 10. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, and ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult rise among thy people, and thy fortresses shall be spoiled. Now let's, if you would, go over to the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Listen to the light that the New Testament sheds on this same thought. Verse number 7 of Galatians 6 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Father, we ask you today to take the precious truth of your Word and illuminate it and expose it to us, your people. I pray that you would just manifest the anointing to teach and preach the Word today and give us fresh ears to hear, and that you would give us a heart that has the capacity to understand, and that you would stir within us, and that we ourselves will choose to obey what is given in the Word of God. May you help us. May you increase faith in us today as we just trust your Word and believe you and take you at your Word, and that we rejoice before you in Jesus' name. So I love you. I thank you so much for the privilege we have to gather again under your Lordship and under the authority of your revealed truth. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at these passages, we're going to start here in Galatians and look back at Hosea. I want you to think on some of these passages. I'm going to deal this morning with what I call three negatives that equal a positive. three negatives that equal a positive. And let's see what they are. He says in verse number 7, be not deceived. The first negative that we got to look at is the idea of straying not. Or we just say it this way, stray not. Just stray not. That's a word that we have here. Stray not. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Stray not. The word deceive means to be led astray in the mind, or literally to be free to roam about. And one thing that we as the people of God must not allow ourselves to be free to roam in our mind. That is, when we feel like we are free to make liberty and roam in whatever areas of life we choose, we're only deceiving ourselves, because we are a people who are never at liberty to let our minds be free. We're to take every thought captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. We're not to be, which we hear, the idea of being free thinkers. We don't have that liberty to do that. Why? Because if we would allow our ability of free thinking, our liberty to do that, there ain't no telling what we'll think up of. Because the Bible tells us that the heart is a deceitful thing, isn't it? And that the heart is the utmost deceitful thing, and we can't even really understand and know our heart outside of revelation from God to help us understand that. Why? Because the natural man, or the flesh of a man, every imagination and thought of his is evil. It's desperately wicked, the Bible says. So we have to have a life source of light to help us with our thinking. Because we normally do have a thinking problem. And everybody said, do you struggle with it? It's part of your DNA. It's who you are as a result of the fall of man. So we are commanded by God to stray not. Don't let your mind stray away from the truth, because when you do, you open yourself up to all sorts of teachings and doctrines that are contrary to the revealed will of God. And the difficult thing is that they actually, these false, deceptive lies fit very well with our fallen flesh. They feed our flesh. And if we will stray not, we're on the path to a positive way of living if we'll let God's truth be what governs our way of living. So stray not. That's the first negative. Be not deceived. You're not free to roam in the mind. You're not at liberty to just to think how you want to think. You're not at liberty to let people influence your thinking apart from whom God has given you and teaching you His Word. We must be cautious. Why? The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of the heart proceedeth all the issues of life. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And as the heart speaks out of what? The mouth. So if I'm thinking about a thing and I feel like I'm free to think how I want to think and roam how I want to roam, guess what? Then I'll begin to speak lies, and all I will be is a hindrance to somebody else and not just myself. I need to guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen? Stray not. Be not deceived. I want you to think about this. We read this in Hosea chapter 8. You're in your spot in Hosea. Look in chapter 8 if you would. Watch this. See how this fits together. Hosea 8. Hosea is going to be right after the book of Daniel. Hosea 8. Look in verse number 12. Well, let's go to verse number 11. Because Ephraim, and Ephraim is a figurative word, it means Israel. That's who he's talking to. Because Israel, Ephraim, hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. That means they're going to be available and accessible. If you don't deal with strongholds, you don't deal with altars, you're going to sin on them. It's a given. Because it's in your nature to lean toward that. Why? Because that kind of stuff, false idols, altars, images, all that feeds the nature of the flesh. And if you make them available and you make them accessible, it is inevitable God will allow you to go after them. And they're going to be available to you, and all it's going to be is a stumbling block and sin to you. Notice verse number 12. I love this verse. This has really stuck out to me and been speaking to me. I have written to him, that is Ephraim, that is Israel, the great things of my law. But they were counted, that is the great things of my law, as a strange thing. Now, what does he mean there? He says, this is how they considered what I wrote to them. They considered my law and the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that comes from my law. They considered it as a foreign thing. And a foreign thing is something that's irrelevant, something that doesn't fit in with my culture of living, something that is unnecessary and not needful for life. I don't need it. It's not part of us. We don't live like the people from India live. We don't live like the people from China live. It's not part of our culture, so we don't pursue it. We don't think about it. And if somebody was trying to influence us, we'd say that's irrelevant. If they want to live that way, that's fine, but we're not going to live that way. And God says, I wrote a love letter to my people. I wrote my revelation unto them, and they saw it as something that was unneeded, irrelevant. They saw it as a foreigner. It was a foreign way of thinking about life, and it was not necessary for them to heed it or seek it and honor it. Now think about that with you. Think that with us and our culture. We stumble across from day to day people who think the same way. People who claim that they are a child of God, like Ephraim would have. People who say they belong to him, yet they have no pleasure, they have no priority of seeking the letter or the word or the law or God's word out and the great things that are written in it that they can live by it. We don't need to think that away, do we? We don't have that liberty to think that away. We can't be deceived. We can't stray away from the revealed truths of the word of God. Why? Because God's word is our life. Amen. It's what we live by. It's how we operate. It's how we function. But think about this in your own life. If there's not something in you that keeps drawing you to the Word of God, keeps driving you to seek out what God has for you and what God thinks of you and what God tells us of Himself and His desires and His agenda, you are just like Ephraim or you just like Israel. That's not a good position to be in. You need to get to a position and a place where you surrender and submit and realize that God has the words of life. And I can't live apart from living by His word. Amen. And if you're there, you need to thank the Lord Jesus for it. Amen. And praise be to God. And if you are there, you have to take the admonition, the warning in Galatians that says, be not deceived. Don't stray from it. Stick with it. Why? Because if you do, this is what happens to you. Go back, if you would, in Galatians and see what he says next. Be not deceived. God is not. What does he say? God is not mocked. So our first negative, what was it? Stray not. What is our second negative? Snort not. That's what I said. Everybody looked up at me like, huh? What'd you say? Snort not. You know how some of you do when you're sleeping? And you lose a little bit of oxygen for a little bit and you try to get all you can in one big gulp and like... How many of your husbands sleep like that? Now, you don't have to tell everybody, amen? How many of your wives sleep like that? I don't tell nobody. Snort not. The word mocked means to moo at, to snort at. You know how it is, Bill, when you fooled with those cows before and they didn't want you to do what you wanted them to do, and they let you know they didn't want you to do what you wanted them to do, and they snorted at you or mooed at you and said, you leave me alone, I'm rebelling against what you want me to do because I don't want to do it. That's snorting. That's mooing at the Lord. That's what it means to mock God. That's saying, I got a better way of doing things. So I snort at him. And remember, that's what Ephraim was doing, wasn't he? They said, I got a better way of living. God, your word is not relative to me. So I'm snorting at your word. I'm going to mock at your word. And therefore, I'm going to stray. You see, when you stray away from the things of God, it's inevitable you're going to snort at what God has to say to you. When God says you ought to be doing this and living this away, it's, that's for them religious folk. That's for them super spiritual, high-minded people. That's for them people who are too heavenly-minded, no earthly good. That's for all them. And I'm going to snort at the word of God. You think it's funny, but that's what you do. That's what it means to mock at God. It's because you have a rebellious spirit within you, and you say, I'm going to do it my way. That may be for some people, but not for me. Just like when I would say, if you're not pursuing the face of God through the word of God, you're in the wrong place in life, in the wrong position. For some of you, inside you didn't snort like I snorted. You didn't move like I moved, but something in you moved at that. It said, I've done quite fine the way that I am and where I am. That's a lie. You see, you've given liberty to stray. And when you give liberty to stray, it's inevitable you're going to snort at God. And God shall not be mocked. Why? Because God tells us up front. He tells us up front. If you follow me and do what I ask you to do, this will be the consequences in life. They'll be positive. They'll be good. I'm going to bless you. But if you choose not to, and you choose to go the way of the world, which fits more perfectly with your flesh and nature, I'm telling you up front, this is what's going to happen as well. Thing is, you don't ever choose, we don't ever choose the consequences of sin, do we? We don't know how far it's going to take us. Don't know how long it's going to keep us there. And really don't know how much it's going to cost us. But we can't snort at God. Amen? Now, how many of you ever snorted at Him? Have mercy on us, Lord. Amen? Have mercy on us, Lord. You ever had a cow not want to do what you wanted it to do? Ray, you ever had a bull not do what you wanted it to do? Danielle, you ever had a horse do not what you wanted it to do? You got to bring it under submission, right? Got to do whatever it takes. KC will get in there and look at them cows face to face, won't he? Get a hold of them and get that cow's attention. God knows how to get our attention, amen? We just don't know how far He's got to bring us down to really get our attention. But He will. He's promised He will. Why? Because He loves us. He's going to do that. We just don't need to be in the position to be snorting at Him. We don't have that right. We don't have that right to snort, and we don't have the right to stray. You see, that's two negatives. Two negatives. It's taking us on a path to lead to a positive. Well, what would be the third negative? Well, if we can't snort and we can't stray, there's something else we can't do. We can't support ourselves. We can't support. Support not. Support not ourselves. What do I mean by that? Look what our passage says. He says in chapter 6 of the book of Galatians, verse number 7, be not deceived. We're not going to stray not. God is not mocked. We're not going to snort at Him. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that soweth to what? He that supports his flesh. Support not. Why? Because if you support your flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh corruption. Why? Because we reap what we sow, don't we? If you sow seeds to the flesh, it's inevitable in the flesh you're going to reap corruption. And that's why oftentimes in our lives, because we've lived life in such a way contrary to God's word, we strayed, we snorted, and we supported ourselves, we find ourselves in difficulty. Our marriages are strained because we didn't do it God's way. Our homes are out of order because we didn't do it God's way. Our resources, our finances are out of order because we didn't do it God's way. because we supported a self-centered living and sow to the flesh. And in those areas of the flesh, we reap trouble. We reap corruption, and it keeps surfacing, and it keeps showing itself. Wow, we've been sowing to it. We've been supporting ourselves. But if we won't give ourselves the ability to stray from the truth, and we won't snort at the revealed truth that God gives us and shows us the error of our way, and won't support ourselves, it's then we find that these things lead to the positive. We can start sowing in the Spirit seeds of righteousness, and we'll start reaping mercy from God. Amen? Look, three negatives lead us to a positive. We won't stray, we won't snort, we won't support. We can then sow seeds of righteousness for the glory of God. And go back over to book of Hosea chapter 10 and see what he says. I think you'll see this as we read it. Look in verse 12 of chapter 10. What a word to hide away in your heart. Notice these farming words, these agricultural words that he gives us. Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up, till up that ground, that fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he what? He come and rain righteousness upon you. Look in verse number 13. Here it is again. The word plowed. Can you see the agricultural terminology that he's using here? You're sowing, you're plowing, you're breaking up ground. And what are you depending upon? God to rain upon that ground so that a harvest would come up out of it. But the idea is this. Notice what he says in verse 13. He says, you have been plowing wickedness, and as a result thereof, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Why? Because you strayed from the truth. Because thou didn't trust in the way of the Lord. You snorted and mocked at the things of God. And you put your trust in the multitude of men and armies. And that's a mockery unto God. That's snorting and mooing at God. And as a result, notice what he says. Therefore shall a tumult arise. There's going to be a tumult. There's going to be a great outcry of the people because of what's going to happen to you. You're going to reap the consequences of what you've been sowing. But you got to keep in mind, look in verse 12 again. What does he tell them to do? Right now, start in your life to sow to yourselves righteousness that you can reap in mercy. Break up that fallow ground that God can plant the seeds of truth within you. And seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying this. Look, you are going to reap some bad things because you've been sowing bad things. You're not going to get away from it. It's coming to you. There's going to be a tumult of a great cry among the people. And you're going to continue to reap the fruit of lies that you have been believing and living and sowing. But God said, I'm giving you something in the midst of that that you can cling to. None of that's going to escape from you. But if you really want something, start sowing seeds of righteousness. And while you reap the bad that's coming, you'll be able to reap some mercy in the midst of it. And it'll help you. Amen. Man, what a promise from God. What a blessing from, what a word of grace. That God said, I'm not going to keep back the bad that's still yet to come because you've sown what I told you not to sow. But if you want to reap something of value while you still reaping the bad, start today sowing seeds of righteousness and you'll start reaping mercy in the midst of the judgment. And sooner or later, we don't know when, at some point, the seeds of judgment we begin to wane away in the seeds of righteousness and you'll start reaping mercy more and more and it'll start outweighing the judgment that you're getting as well. But you gotta be a point where you stop sowing seeds of wickedness. Amen? That's a blessing there. Why? Because Galatians tells us a man's gonna reap what he sows. So the three positives, the three negatives. Stray not. What's the next one? All y'all snort for me one time. Y'all got to do it. I've been doing it by myself. Snort. Oh, man, do better than that. One more time. Oh, y'all sound good, let me tell you. Stray not, snort not, and what? support not your flesh. Don't sow to the flesh. Don't sow to the flesh. And what's these three negatives lead to a positive? You'll start sowing seeds of righteousness and you'll reap the mercy of God. That's an eternal deal from God. Amen? One you don't want to forsake. One you don't want to forget. And I pray you won't forget what we talked about today from God's Word. So let's begin right now. Don't snort at God. If you're in this position, you know you're reaping things from a past that you've been sowing that are not good. Look, don't mock God. Don't snort at Him. Acknowledge. Say, God, I see it. Thank you, Lord, for opening my eyes. I'm getting what I deserve from you. Yet thank you for inviting me to join in your work and in your labor. And I repent of my sin. I repent of my waywardness. I repent of doing what I've been doing. And I am going to trust you. I'm not going to stray. Help me, Lord. Remove the lie from me and remove me from liars and put your truth in me that I can plant your seed, not only in my heart, but in other people's lives. I don't want to support my flesh, but I want to look to you. Three positive, three negatives that lead to a positive life. Amen. Trust God in it today. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you, bless you, and give you the glory. Help us, Lord, each one of us in this place today, acknowledge our waywardness, to turn to you and to turn away from our self-destruction. Help us, Lord. You have paid the price so that we could sow seeds of righteousness and reap your mercy. Reign upon us. Reign upon us. As your word said, seek you until you come and rain righteousness upon us. So we must today, I plead with you to continue to draw us near, continue to reveal Jesus, continue to unveil your truth, and give us a heart not to see your word as irrelevant or unnecessary and foreign, but it is what we pursue with all our heart. We love you, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.